everybody. Kevin Broughton and Ryan Surratt coming at you today from Loan Officer Impact. And we are extremely excited to have a dear friend, and a consummate professional, and just a flat-out awesome guy on our show today. For loan officers nationwide that tune into us, you know our mission is to help loan officers have a more impactful life, and we try to bring impactful opportunities through these sessions so that you might pick up a tool, a tip, or a strategy so you can run a better business, hopefully get an angle or a perspective that you didn't have before you tuned in, and implement something in your business that makes you have less stress, more freedom, and more money in your pocket. So without any further ado, I'd like to introduce my friend, Mr. Mike Steplowski from Nashville, Tennessee. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Well, how are you?
I'm doing great. And I say Nashville, I know you live and work in Mount Juliet, which is a suburb of Nashville, correct?
Yep. Yeah, we're about 30 minutes outside of Nashville to the east.
Yep, to the east. All right. So I'd like to start off, if you could, without going into a full-on history, but can you just quickly share how you got into the mortgage business, when that was, and your story of how you got to Nashville is kind of fun, too. Do you mind just sharing a minute of that?
Sure, man. So I actually started in the business in September of 2007. You know, it was perfect timing.
Great date.
Yeah, I actually got into the business in Maryland, where I grew up. And at that point in time, it was mostly just internet refi leads is kind of where I started. And then we moved down here in 2009, and I kind of made the transition from a refi business to a purchase driven business, and started going after or forming realtor relationships to get that purchase business.
And do you mind, can I embarrass you just a minute with how you got, like, why you originally went to Nashville?
Yeah, man. So, originally it was me and three of my best friends. We all had a little musical group in high school, and it kind of transitioned into something that we decided to take down to Nashville and chase a dream for a few years.
And you actually did land a record label, and you did produce a record, right?
Yeah, for a very short time.
Well, but you were famous for a little bit of time, right?
I don't know. There was no fame that came along with it, but man, I wouldn't trade it for the world. It was a great experience.
Well, it's just cool to follow your dream. And, I know millions of people probably have gone to Nashville chasing a dream, and not every one of them got a record contract, and you did. So I always thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
Ryan, jump on in. Ask Mike anything you want to.
So one thing, Mike, that you're kind of known for, I believe, is manufactured housing. So when did you start? Because that is kind of a niche market that many lenders just either they don't know about it, they don't want to get into it. So that is something, though, that you've really mastered. So what made you want to get into that niche market, basically?
Yeah, originally it was just, to solve a problem that I had. I guess it was probably 6 or 7 years ago, I had my first manufactured home come across my desk, and I didn't know a thing about it, how to get it done. That first one was tough. It was kind of a, stumble and learn kind of a thing. And we figured it out the first time, and then, one or two more came through, and we got really good at it. I understand, there's some little quirks to it as far as, little things that you have to know going into it in order, for it to not go sideways on you. And when we got really good at it, we figured we would just, take that out and use it as a niche just to get in the door a lot of places. Sometimes where somebody already had a referral relationship that they used, but that particular lender didn't have or didn't do manufactured housing. So I was able to get a foot in the door. And show them what we can do. They get to meet me, they get to meet my team, they get to see what a transaction looks like with us. And eventually we get some other type of business, not just manufactured homes, but it's to this day, it's still been a great door opener. I send an email out every morning. I've got one of my realtors set me up on a market watch. So I see every new manufactured home listing that comes on the market. I send out an email to the listing agent. It's usually 2 to 5 emails a day. It takes me about 10 minutes. It's another way for me to connect with realtors that I don't know. And it's always information of value. It's not something that anybody else is giving them and talking about.
Has that strategy gotten you any business, Mike?
Oh, absolutely, man. Yeah.
Well, I assumed it had, or you wouldn't keep doing it. But so you with authenticity are able to, I assume, send an email to the listing agent saying, hey, I am the premier, you know, manufactured home lender in Tennessee. And if you really sell this house, it's in your best interest to have the borrower talk to me.
Yeah. I mean, well, and a lot of times what happens is, you know, they'll get a contract from a buyer and they'll eventually find out that buyer's lender doesn't do manufactured housing. So when the, you know, when that comes up in the conversation, the listing agent's able to say, hey, I know a guy. And that's usually how I get the referral.
And you've kind of become the I know a guy for a lot of not only real estate companies, but even some lender shops in your general area know what you do and have sent you deals too, right?
That's correct. Yeah, I get referrals from other lenders that don't do loans on manufactured homes.
Good, good.
What do you say to the listing agent real quick? So, I mean, what's that email sound like?
Yeah, so I came up with just a simple PDF that gives you kind of the top five things that you need to know, right? And, you know, the email just says, hey, congrats on the new listing at 123 Main. You know, here's some great information that will help your seller be better prepared for a buyer who's going to need financing. You know, and then a little spiel about I'm a local lender that specializes in manufactured housing. And, you know, I tell them we can do this program, that program, you know, list the programs that we do and, you know, we can close them in less than 30 days. So it just real, real short and sweet. The email is very, very, very direct. And it's not more than three sentences and I attach that PDF.
But the aha and the takeaway for those that are tuning in, whether you're great or not great at manufactured homes is a different story. But what the aha to me is Mike has a niche. Right. He's great at that niche. That niche is profitable for him. It's beneficial to the client. And now he's found a way to use that value with a different set of referral sources that if he does what he says, it opens up the door. I'm sure when you do that and they call and say, Mike, I need you, and you do a great job, I assume that gives you an opportunity, Mike, to establish a relationship with that realtor for regular business as well.
Yeah, absolutely. At that point, the door's open, you know, for that. We can have that next, you know, whether it be a coffee appointment or just getting together at their office or mine to just get a better understanding of their business. And I get to, you know, introduce everything else that we do.
So the aha is have something of value, because when you can go at them with something of value, it is different than just saying, hi, I'm a really good guy. Right. And you've now solved a need that they have. And that opens the door for a lot of future opportunities if you do it right. And if you're referable and if you're everything that Mike is, which most of people tuning into this are but referable, but it gives you an opportunity to get in. Go ahead, Ryan.
No, that's good. I like that you got a system and a strategy that it works. No, that's good. So have you tried this with anything else, like any other type of niches besides?
I have it, man. I mean, this is kind of, you know, my, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, for now, this is my thing. And like Kevin was saying, I think it's just a matter of, instead of just, hey, let's grab coffee, I get the opportunity to connect and offer something of real value, not just, hey, I'm another lender calling you and want your referrals.
Right. No, that's good. No, yeah, I agree.
So, Mike, you've been doing this for 16 years, and you and I have been together for a large number of those years, probably about five-ish, right? Maybe six?
Yeah, I'm going with six, I believe.
Yeah. And we've seen the best market in the history of our industry, and we've seen arguably the most challenging market in the history of our industry, right? All within a 24-month span, right?
Absolutely.
What are some things that you've either done or not done that you should be doing that people tuning in could learn from on how to survive and thrive in challenging times? Could you share anything on that level? Because that's something our listeners request frequently is help me in this market.
Yeah. And, obviously I'm not as busy today as I was 2 years ago. So that's a big topic of conversation for me and my team. And I think for me, anytime we've ever dealt with challenges or a market that makes it more difficult, it always comes down to just focusing on the little micro goals every day, whether it be, I'm going to call, X amount of people today, I'm going to get one appointment. It doesn't need to be, I want to do 30 million this year. Just what can I do today? And those sales activities, they're going to eventually get me to that point, but I don't dwell on the big goal very much. I just want to focus on what I'm going to accomplish today.
Love it. Awesome advice. I hope everyone said that or heard what Mike just said. Please focus on micro goals, meaning daily or hourly goals today. Because like Mike said, it's tough to sit around and say, I'm going to do 30 million, I'm going to do 50 million, when the reality is we got to do things today that create revenue-producing opportunities, correct?
Yeah.
And you've been a great believer in coaching over the years. You and I have had countless conversations about the importance of coaching. What do you think about consistency? Because at the end of the day, the message that I hear from every coach that I've ever had or have listened to puts a huge premium on consistency. Do you find that's far more important in a challenging market like today versus a good, an incredible market?
How do you mean consistency? Consistency of coaching, just being coached?
No, consistency of effort by you and by people on your team to stay in a focused state every day.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, when it comes to the coaching piece, I mean, I think that's what kind of, you know, holds you accountable to that focus and consistency.
And I think that you've rededicated over the last, you know, 2 days or 4 days or so, based on a text conversation we had, that you're committed to a minimum of 2 hours of daily prospecting every single day, Monday through Thursday. Is that true?
That's correct.
And do you find it hard to stick to that if you're not getting the results? I mean, what, like, you know, and I know, and Ryan knows, many guys and gals will commit to that, but sometimes they don't get the results that they're hoping for. And then that phone gets heavier, correct?
Yeah, I
guess so. But I mean, I think it just, if you just stay, the return isn't the, you know, the closing. The return is that, again, that meeting that you get today or that meeting you get tomorrow. I think that's how you stay focused. The closings come. If you just do the little stuff every day, those sales activities, everything else kind of falls into place. Now, obviously you need the structure and the systems in place to get those deals to the closing. But if you've got that, it really is kind of like turning the spigot on.
I think that the challenge is continuing to do it, but then if you just continue, and I think you get to a point where, you know, it's hard for a little bit, but then you kind of get into a groove. And yeah, then once you get into that groove, then like what you're talking about is like turn on the spigot. You just got to continue to make that activity. What is it that you say, Kevin, a lot, that winners don't stop? And I think that's what we have to remember too, is that we just can't stop. Got to keep going, even if it feels like a grind. May not be getting the activities that we want or the results we want, but just continuing to just do the activity, it will eventually give the results.
Well, you know, you say that, and I remember, I'm not the most sophisticated guy you'll ever meet, right? I'm just a grinder and a worker. And someone asked me about a year ago, what's the difference between a loser and a winner? And I sat there for a second and pondered the answer. And I said, I don't know. And he said, the winner never quit. And it kind of hit me that simple, but I look back at kind of why I've been successful and Mike and Brian and many others, and we just didn't quit. You know, I don't think that I'm necessarily better or smarter than anyone else. I just think I go at it hard every damn day. And some days are more fun than others. Some days are really rewarding. Some days it's, man, that was a tough one, you know? But I just refuse to accept that this is a terrible market. I think it's an opportunistic market if we choose to work hard in it. I refuse to say everything's terrible. I don't say that. I say, I don't know, I got a shot today, and the more negative others think, I might win just by default by not thinking negative, you know? So I think that the takeaway from that little topic there is consistency matters. Micro focus on daily wins. A win might be an appointment. It might be a phone call. It might be someone who said yes to us. It might be someone that said, give me a call in a week that we've been chasing for a while, that's a big whale or something. It doesn't necessarily have to be an amount of money that came in today, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Mike, what is some advice? Like, let's say, you know, some of our listeners, not all, but some are newer to the industry. If you had to start over today, And I just, let me preface this by this. Someone said something to me this morning that I really liked. He said, we must approach this market as if it's our first day in the business. And that, I started thinking about that. And I started thinking, that's kind of insightful. You know, we do kind of have to approach this market as if it's our first day in the business. But if you were, you know, newer to the industry, are there any one, two, or three things that you would recommend someone do without fail?
I mean, I do think that surrounding yourself with people that are working towards the same goal, whether that be in some type of coaching program or just somebody that, you know, a small group in the same branch, just, you know, having somebody to, you know, challenge you, hold you accountable, and push you forward, I think is probably the most important. I think that's where my business changed for me personally, is where I started to have that group of accountability partners and we're all working towards the same goal. We're all trying to accomplish the same thing. Having that group around me was pivotal for me. You know, and obviously that's kind of a big picture thing. And, you know, I think the other thing is just, like I said, don't get too distracted by the big goal. Just stay on, you know, what are you going to do today? And we kind of already covered that, but I mean, that really is that important.
Those are two great pieces of advice. And, you know, we talk about this a lot on this show, and I don't know if you've tuned in any episodes or not, Mike, but we talk about alignment a lot and how important alignment is with your team, with your executive team at your company, with your business partners in the industry. You got to be aligned. And if your goals and your core values aren't the same as those that you're working with, it's harder to produce the result than if they are, right?
Yeah.
And we've been together for a lot of years, and mainly because we're aligned. We're aligned in our thinking. We're aligned in our work ethic. We're aligned in our morals. We're aligned in a lot of ways that are important to each of us. And I think that stuff's important as you go through challenging times, because not everything's the same today as it was 2 years ago for any mortgage company in America, you know? And companies look different. The businesses look different. But there's still plenty of room to thrive. And we're still going to lend about $2 trillion in this country this year, which will make it about the fourth best year in the history of the mortgage business. So for all the doomsayers out there, the fact is, for those that are willing to work and those that believe it's opportunistic and will get creative and will do some things that maybe they're not accustomed to having to do, there's plenty of business out there. Would you agree, Mike?
I would, yeah.
How do you see in your market? You are in one of the best markets in the country for growth and appreciation. How are the realtors doing in your market? Are they finding it harder to sell homes? Are there more of them? Are there less of them? What are you hearing out there in the street with your market?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think there's less volume right now. There are, you know, fewer houses on the market. You know, we're still the challenge for, I'd say most of the people we're working with are still first-time home buyers, and there's still kind of an affordability challenge for those buyers right now. So, you know, I'd say those are the biggest challenges.
Well, affordability is a challenge, right, Ryan? And almost, you know, I don't know, every market in the country, but certainly in a large percentage of the markets, no?
No, I agree, yeah. I mean, in Texas alone, taxes have gone up tremendously. And so that's causing a lot of people to just reevaluate if this is the right time to buy, especially with rates where they are and going up a little bit, you know, last week. So I think, and I'm sure you do this, Mike, is doing education. And so like you've done it with manufactured homes, doing education, just that this is still a good opportunity, a good time to buy. And there's different strategies out there to help. And so I think that maybe sometimes loan originators just want to put their head in the sand. And instead of getting out or facing what's going on, they just put their head in the sand and kind of duck and cover. But I think, wouldn't you agree, Mike, that we can't do that? And so we got to get out, we got to educate, network, connect, and really try to promote some ways forward for families to get into the homes.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, educating that buyer, you know, we give everybody that we work with a budget and teach them how to use it. You know, that especially that first time home buyer that's about to buy this home, and it allows them to really see, you know, what they can afford and then make an educated decision on the right price point for them.
I had three things break in my home this week, so I know what some of the repair costs are. So not fun days. But Mike, and I know this isn't the time nor the forum for you to go full blown into this, but are you still attempting to play a massive role in the thing that you and I have talked about 6 months ago, where you're trying to help with the affordability issue?
We're still working on some, still a big dream for me, still don't have all the pieces in place just yet, but yes, one day I'm hoping that I'm able to make it work.
Well, and I don't want to give away everything, but I will say this, that Mike actually isn't only really smart, he's got a huge heart. And this affordability issue is something that actually matters to him. It's not just a topic for a podcast. And he's working with a group at the possibility of creating much larger manufactured home communities. Because if you look, some of these homes are incredibly well constructed, you know, and I think a lot of times in many areas of the country, you get a negative stigma around the word manufactured home. But if you look at some of the actual end products, you'd be very, very shocked at how well these are built. And yep. I know that he's looking at, you know, doing developments where someone can get in a home that oftentimes could be a couple hundred grand less expensive than other same size homes in other areas of the same city. Is that correct, Mike?
Yeah, in some cases.
In some cases. And get a real quality product. And if the developments are done properly in a really great community, right? And so I hope that you continue your work down that path. And I know you've helped change some of the stigma tied to that name and that word, because you know what some people think of that word from 20 years ago. It's not the same reality today, correct?
No, absolutely not.
And I've seen some of these unbelievably nice developments, and I know you're working on something like that, which I just think is cool, because you're not only making a living for your family right now, but you're also working towards helping larger numbers of people achieve the American dream in an affordable way, which has become extremely challenging in many, many cities across this country, and Nashville being one of the top ones. I mean, look at what the housing price, think of what you walked into in 2007 or 2009 when you got there versus today. It's not even close to the semblance of the same place, right?
No, not at all.
And you can't buy a garage in Nashville today for what you could buy a 4-bedroom home for in 2009, I bet, right?
That right, yes.
Yeah. Well, I just want to thank you. We're kind of nearing our time limit here, but you've been a great guest. I thank you for your time today. You could have chose to do something else, and to share it with Ryan and I and our audience is much appreciated. I hope everyone got the takeaways. Be consistent. Be creative. Get great at something that maybe was foreign to you prior to. Open up doors with something of value. Don't give up. There's five takeaways right there that I got from Mike that I can get better at. And if we all take the aha moments that we hear and then actually take action with them, we can change our place in this industry. And that's what he's done. That's what Ryan's done. I, to a lesser extent, but keep doing what you're doing. Keep tuning in to this. We're going to try to bring positive impact to your life every single week by exposing you to someone else that's done something exceptional in this industry. And today's guest, Mike Steplowski, is 100% qualified in that role. So Mike, thank you. Ryan, thank you. I appreciate both of you. I hope everyone tuning in has a great rest of the week, and we'll talk to you all soon.
Thanks, guys.
Be sure to visit successunlimited.us for free loan officer tools, tips, and video resources. To schedule time with Kevin, visit growingwithkevin.com.